book session number 13732, Reel 2.
We're finished with the Hastings, and you've been posted to the Hercules.
Yep.
And you're telling me the OCU was at Bryce Norton?
No, no. I did a little ops job at the Bryce Norton while I was waiting for the OC, which was at Thorny Island. For the
that was on Herc's, was it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And about, must be 68. Yes, it was. That was 68, yeah. So we did the OCU there. And luckily, I didn't have to be a co-pilot, because they were short of them. Pilots, captains rather. So I went straight as captain.
Did you convert quite easily?
I was only about 28, and so the learning curve was still fairly reasonable. I don't remember having any difficulties apart from performance jobs and you know, graphs and this one. No, flying was lovely. Lovely compared with it's easy compared, relatively easy compared with the Hastings. We did at that stage though do a bit of everything. We did. The normal flying, route flying, and airdrops, and strip landings and everything. Whereas nowadays, they only do a little bit of that, and then they specialise on the squadrons.
What about the handling of the aircraft? I mean, the controls are presumably totally different.
It's more like a vampire, really. Well, as far as I remember, the vampire. I mean, it's like a big fighter, I should imagine.
Lots of power.
Lots of prayer, sometimes too much, because you could over-talk the beast. Yes, it's a completely different kettle of fish to flying a Hastings, because whereas you did an action there, and some time later, the aircraft did something. This one took little time to respond, very little time. Lovely, lovely to fly.
And directionally stable, was she?
Yeah. Yes, very.
That aircraft tend to be a bit difficult.
It's not bad. Yeah. It's pretty fair, really. The only problem, though, on the long trips, because shortly after I got on the squadron, we were going the Changi slip. It's 12 hours so to Bahrain and 12 hours to Changi, missing out all the nice places. And we hadn't got any cell call and no autopilot.
So cool.
The HF. Call from wherever. So you had to listen. Somebody had to listen out on HF, all that noise all the time, and somebody had to pole it all the time. Now,
I mean, the autopilots are fitted, weren't they, or not?
No, not when we set them first. They fitted them about a year after I was on them, which was a great relief. But after that, you know, somebody was sitting there, whether it was an engineer or navigator, somebody was polling it.
And SOCOR was a device that, if there was a message for you, it rang like a telephone, didn't it?
Ding dong!
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. Excellent piece of kit. I mean, this old signals who are quite happy listening to this background disastrous noise all the time in their life, but it's a bit wearing.
So it was rather boring flying the Herc in those days, was it? On these long hauls?
Well, I suppose it was, really. 12 hours of stretches, unless something particularly interesting happened. Yes, it was. But we were interspersed with that. We were doing power drops and all the exercise and all the other things that we can do. Strip landings and all kinds of things.
But in different parts of the world?
All over the place, yeah. Yeah.
Where in particular?
Gosh.
Middle East, Canada?
Well, yeah. Yeah, we had the cross-check with the Canadians. They come across here, we go across there. It's just all over the place. Not as much as we do now, I don't think. In various places. Without looking up, I can't remember where we used to go. It was only 2.5 years, and then I got posted from that lovely job. For reasons I'm not going to, all right. I don't know really why, but...
Where were you based at that time?
That was at Fairford.
At Fairford.
Yeah, that was 2.5 years, and then it was about then that Fairford closed down, and the two squadrons moved over to join the rest at Lynham.
Tell me a bit about low-level drops, because that's probably the most crucial when you're actually flying the aircraft and you've got to keep your eye on the ground outside.
I've never done the actual ultra-low level. The ones I've never done any lower than about 50 feet. Most of those were on Hastings, to be fair. The rest of them, as far as I recollect, were 250 feet. Although 250 feet is fairly low on a big aircraft. The ultra low level is where you have your undercarriage down in case you make a small error. I've never done that. And that is, well, sort of the odd few feet off the ground, as far as I know. And it's extracted at very low levels, so you don't use any parachutes. I think that's correct. Don't know much about that, our very low stuff.
Because they also, I mean, if you get any turbulence at all, the results can be rather critical, can't they, out there?
Would you really, though? The errors that shouldn't be too great.
Because you've got you're in your ground cushion then, aren't you, at that height?
Yeah.
Floating along on it.
I should think so. Yeah. Mm.
And you do, I mean, the whole profile of drops. I mean, you do high level as well, presumably, do you? I mean, paratroops, this sort of thing.
We used to do that. I haven't done any for some years now. Since 1970 rather, we dropped those at about 1,200 feet normally. That there, obviously, very susceptible to all weather, wind particularly. So, and being on the safe side, the wind is very paramount, the wind speed. So you don't go and drop them over. Unless, of course, for real, then you might drop them at a little higher speeds than recommended. But normally, I think it was 10 or 12 knots, if I remember rightly. And that was for trained troops.
What?
12 knots.
Higher than your usual?
No, 12 knots wind speed.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you know, the damage to limbs goes up, I think, exponentially, actually, I think, the wind speed. I'm not sure.
And jumping out of the back. Oh, no, they jump out the sides, don't they?
Yeah. Mostly, the free falls go out the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the line...
out the side, yeah.
Go out the side, and
yeah.
They'll still hit the winds with a slipstream like these.
Oh,
do in the old
sure.
Dakotas.
Yeah.
Which can be a bit destabilising, I suppose.
Oh, I wouldn't fancy it myself.
Anyhow, where have we got to now? What sort of year? When you
19... I got... I finished... on the Hercules in 71. Later I got posted to Pershore. Back again, despite them all being grounded and finished, there was one Hastings, which was my friend. So I had a quick course. There were still a few bombing NBS Hercules Hastings going at Lindholm. No, was it Scampton then?
NBS,
night bombing system, with the big radome underneath for the Vulcans. So they played the bomber images, or whatever they call them, used to play on those.
How did they keep up with the Vulcans?
Well, they didn't, but they just used the H2S or whatever they had underneath to simulate a Vulcan. It was cheaper, I guess.
Oh, I see.
And I had a quick refresher on that. Then to the Hastings at Pershore, where we did research and development with various radars and other... Oh, and the search water radar, which was then removed and put on the Viscount, which I flew. And I was flying the Hastings, Viscount, Varsity, which was a slightly different Varsity to the normal. And it also gave us a chance I flew in a second pilot to the Wessex, Sea King, Puma, Canberra, Meteor. Wonderful.
You went on all those?
Well, I wasn't actually qualified first pilot on those. But, just the three, I was the bigger one.
You sat in the back seat on the Canberra, did you?
Well, in the rumble seat on the Canberra.
So, yeah.
On the T11, yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was it's T11, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's T11. Most of T11.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was glad.
You had side-by-side ejector seats on the trainer, did you?
Yes, that's right, yeah. Mm. And vastly, we used to go around looking for photographs and weather phenomena, something I never understood. We were looking for why Doppler unlocked on certain conditions. And 20 years later, I was on a Snoopy doing the same thing.
What, the Snoopy here?
I said, well, we were doing that 20 years ago. And they said,
No, the Snoopy is especially equipped Hercules for weather studies.
Exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just guesting up at Farnborough for them the other day. And we were doing very similar trial. Different heights, though, as we were doing on the varsity in 1970 something. Very interesting, nice lot of interesting flying at Pershore. And got posted to Lucas as a high speed flight instructor on the simulator. And so I went and did a course at Coningsbury, and it was in fact for ex-lightning people. I thought a lightning course meant a quick course, but it meant a course for ex-lightning people, and I was supposed to go solo in this Phantom. Luckily,
or
nobody.
For real or simulated?
No, for real.
Yeah.
Luckily, nobody noticed, because I was no way was I was. I might have been able to a year later. So I did 3.5 years instructing Phantom operators with no credibility.
They were at
Coningsby, and then they moved up to Lucas, so they had got their, they were operational to a certain extent, but then they'd come in the simulator and they said, well, what do you fly? I said, well, Hastings or so credibility value of nil to begin with. I did gain a little bit eventually.
But you were sitting outside the simulator,
that's
setting
right.
up problems,
yeah.
fallen by hand,
yeah.
like flame outs and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was air traffic and the person who introduced the faults and anything else. But we seemed to manage eventually, all right. Didn't actually ever go solo on the Phantom, did have a trip. And then, goodness gracious, posting about the Hercules. It's taken 10 years from, and that was the OC was back at Lynham then.
This was about the late '70s, was it?
Yeah, 1980, in fact.
1980.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I did another course then. Was that the fourth time on the OC? Yeah? Fourth or fifth? And it was like coming home. Very nice. And 82, shall we jump to, and Falkland War. And somehow or other, I got asked to fly one of the new tankers, which was introduced, I think, about July. Dates I'll find if you like.
Now, these are ordinary Hercules that have been adapted.
That they had the long-range tanks from the 748s, put in the back four of them, an extra £28,000 of fuel, and a new system which Marshall's developed very, very quickly, and plus the probe in the front. They introduced that remarkably quickly and successfully, the probe. The tank were okay, but we had a problem. Initially, I took the first tanker down to Ascension in about July 82, I think it was, and we started off the detachment there. Much to the pleasure of the victors, because they were hoping to see a few of us down there and come home themselves, because they'd been down there for a few months by now. And we operated for a few months down there, and we had
out of Ascension
with big problems with the venting system. And a couple of months later, We had to come home, get it sorted out, because it was too dangerous. We were getting feeding problems, so you might have £28,000 of fuel down the back, which you couldn't use, which no good.
You didn't want to come back and land it.
Well, you couldn't give it away. You couldn't do anything with it. It was just stuck there. You couldn't use it.
Because it wasn't venting, therefore the fuel wasn't going down the lines to the recipient.
Yeah, that's vaguely what it was. They were leaking a lot.
Was it a gravity feed or did you pump it?
They had a pump eventually introduced. But this wasn't actually feeding to the back, outside. What we had to do was pump the fuel in the fuselage up to the front, up in the wings, to use it initially. So we had a big problem, so we had to come back much to the...
Do you have a centre line delivery type, or were they wingtip deliveries?
To the receiver. It was just the one out the back.
One out the back on the centre line.
Yeah. I'll show you some pictures in a minute, show you what it's all about.
Anyhow, can I get down to a bit of detail now? When the Falklands War started, you didn't do any runs as freighters. You were assigned to a tanker when it was converted.
I think we were the first aircraft out of Lynham. We went to Gibraltar and to Ascension, and carrying.
Did you find Gibraltar Ascension non-stop?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's nearly 1 mile. Fairly heavy. I mean, we're operating military operations stands out of Gibraltar because we are too heavy. Anyway, that was all cleared. Luckily.
So you could get off the runway at Gibraltar.
As long as nothing happened, yeah.
With a full load and go straight to Ascension.
Fairly heavy, yeah. And then we did that for months. Ferrying freight and stuff down there. In fact, I've never seen a place like Ascension. There was all the boats harboured off the end of the runway there. A line of helicopters, as far as you could see, waiting to pick up the freight to take them out of the boats before they went off down to the Falkland. An amazing sight. And the parking space there, I mean, it's complete. You wouldn't recognise it now. I mean, it'll hold a whole air force, I think, now. A little, fairly small then. And,
big runway?
The runway's still the same. Huge runway. Necessary.
About 10,000 feet? Or?
It's near enough, yes, off the cuff. The parking space is for all the Vulcans and troop and Hercules and Americans there. Couldn't move. Never seen anything like it. That went on for...
Well, you were freighting at this time?
Yes.
After Ascension and back?
Yeah, because the tanker hadn't been made up then. The tanker came in about the beginning of June, in fact. And so we started off learning the prod.
Over here?
Yeah. Behind the Victor. Well, incredible. I never thought I'd be able to do it.
What did it involve?
Just put in this probe in this hole. But it's rather like riding a bicycle, I'm told. And once you've got it, it's with you. But the process of acquiring this game, some people find it extraordinary. I was able to manage quite successfully after the second time, so several hours. Other people took a much longer time.
Were you out of the deliverer's slipstream, or were you bumping about?
Yeah, on the Victor, you had to go through the slipstream. Then it's fairly calm once you're inside, unless you go start swinging a bit, the oscillation, then it's terrible. If you're right in close...
You're right inside the cone, then, are you?
Yeah. Until you get there, though, you've got quite a bit of rough. And the thing that was introduced on Hercules at a slightly later stage was we couldn't stay plugged in straight and level flight because as we gained weight, we had to get the tanking aircraft to descend, as they call it, a toboggan. So he'd start off a toboggan. then you could, then you didn't have to have, well, you could reduce sometimes the power a little bit. But no, it was.
Was that because of the speed differential between the two?
Well, they came down as slow as they could, but we couldn't handle it at the really heavy weight, straight and level. But they reduced their speed. I can't remember exactly, about 210 knots, I think it was. But we were full throttle as you could get. So and until they started the toboggan, and then we were okay then.
Now, you were at what altitude when you started the toboggan?
Down at on the first RV out of Ascension was about flight level 200.
3,000 feet.
Yeah. Because that's about all you could manage, sometimes a little less than that. Because we'd taken off at 175,000, which is our overweight maximum. Wait for it to burn down so you could put some more fuel on. And then that was from the Victor. And then you trundled on, and then you gave the fuel away to the next Hercules, which is the freighter. That was the normal thing. I'll come to a more interesting one a bit later, if you like.
Now, when you gave fuel away to another Hercules,
yeah,
did you have to toboggan like the Victor did, or
did yeah,
you still,
we did.
You still had to do
we
that?
Did because it made life easier. Yeah, because the other aircraft would still be very, very heavy, and he would find difficulty. The only problem was in the front aircraft, you had to put an oxygen mask on a little bit ahead of time, so you could pre-oxygenate to open up the back end. Trail the old hose and then be prepared for him to take on the fuel.
Ah, so you couldn't deliver in pressurised form then?
No.
You always had to depressurise?
Yeah, the whole aircraft, yeah.
And what was your rate of descent in a tobogganing mode approximately?
It's not very much, 400 or 500 feet a minute maximum. Mm. Unless, we'd do whatever he wanted. If he'd say, hey, we're going to go and hack this, we're a bit steeper, or whatever. You know, he could. The idea was to lose as little height as possible. Mm. So the freighter then would only have to climb up minimum height of height.
Now, was this your position always? Were you number two in the delivery sequence?
Well, not always. There's various other options we had. Sometimes we just did two Hercules tankers and a Hercules freighter. That was when we had the two Hercules operating at the same time. So one Hercules would get airborne, followed by the other one, followed by the freighter. The first one would give fuel away to the second one at about 4 hours out.
What, the tankers?
Tanker to tanker. And then he'd plod on for another 8 hours after takeoff and give it to the freighter. And then he'd come home. So one was about some 8 hour trip, the other one 16 hour trip, something like that. Not always, but something around that main nature.
Now, when the freighter Hercules had taken on his second load,
yeah,
or the full load,
yeah,
from the second tanker,
yeah,
how many hours did he still have to go to get to the Falklands?
Normally about 6 hours, something like that. I can't remember.
So that
the
was
figures
well yet. Within his endurance, anyway.
Oh, what he had initially, some of the flights, they were trying to get enough fuel on board, particularly the early ones, where they were dropping down at the Falklands. They had to have enough fuel to do the drop, low level, do the boats or wherever, and fly back. So they had a vast amount of fuel.
So they'd drop on the Falklands without landing?
Yep. That was the beginning part of the war. Now, we didn't come in the scene on that. That was all Victors plus the Hercules freighter. So that involved a number of Victors.
Was that before the airstrip had been repaired?
Oh, yeah, before we were allowed to land there, yeah. So after that, all we had to do was to land there with enough fuel to divert somewhere up on the mainland.
Where would that be, Montevideo or something?
Well, or Punta
Arenas.
That's the one.
In Chile.
Yeah, no, and there's another one we used. I can't remember it at the moment. I'm thinking of it. But on certain occasions, special one, we had an even better, devious method. And this was to get certain VIPs down there. Margaret Thatcher went down there with one of my friends, but special VIP fit. Small VIP fit. Don't know much about that one because I wasn't involved. I think I gave fuel to him, but then I didn't see the rest of the... Then I took Secretary of State for Defence, Michael Heseltine, down, and Sir Peter Harding. And that apparently was the most interesting one that's ever flown out of Ascension. We had, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 aircraft airborne, plus 3 in reserve, £640,000 of fuel, and I landed with what we normally take off with, in a great amount of fuel. No, down at two. We landed at Stanley on the short runway, with the strip, the matting, AM2 matting. We landed at maximum about... We landed with £155,000 weight, which is normally what we take off at. So we took on the last amount of fuel about 4 hours out of Stanley, so that if we didn't get in there, we could fly back to Ascension with the VIPs. Because it wasn't deemed a good idea to take them to the mainland.
Yes, quite, I understand that. But, I mean, this is one aircraft carrying two VIPs, supported by 6 tankers?
Something like that. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 and 6 tankers. There was one in reserve, yeah.
And all Hercules or some
Victors? No, Victors. Yeah. There was 1, 2, 3 Victors. Plus a reserve, 4 Victors, plus 2 Hercules tankers, and our, what are they called, PLR-2. So we had...
What's that?
Well, instead of having the 4 tanks down the back, we had 2 tanks, so they could put a few more people and a few nice loos and things for the VIPs. Interesting.
Sorry, and were you flying the plane with Heseltine?
Yeah, and Sir Peter Harding, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the most interesting one of the lot. It was deemed... They came back straight from Portland by Nimrod, straight to UK. And the outcome, I remember...
Did they get a Nimrod in there?
I can't remember, but they did.
But that Nimrod was...
Oh, he was refueled on the way back.
Yeah.
I believe. And it proved how quickly you could put people into the Falklands. I didn't quite follow that. The reasoning behind that was beyond me.
But what was the total elapsed time from Ascension?
Normally about 12 hours.
It's 12 hours.
Yeah. Give or take a bit, because the winds were fairly constant. Yeah. Then.
But so you spent, just to recap, I mean, you spent about 8 hours of that flight topping up your tanks, if you are the freighter. You spent 8 hours of that stage topping up your tanks.
No, the actual topping up was, took the normal one, normal two RVs, was 14 minutes, because you take 2 tonne a minute.
You're flying with tankers for the first...
The last tank was my friend down the road here.
Yeah.
He did 16 hours that day. So he actually flew 8 hours down to Falklands. So he could almost see the Falklands.
Yeah. 8 hours down.
Now that was for the last tanker.
Yeah.
And we went on for the X4.
But he'd done how many hours before then?
That was 8 from Ascension, to the last RV. Yeah.
And then there's another 4 hours to go after that.
For us.
Full 12 hours.
He just did 8 hours back then. He just turned around.
Yeah, 16 hours.
Yeah.
Flying.
Yeah. And some of the early trooping ones, if the weather was bad, they did 24 hours. And the next day, they say, right, old troops, get them back. And it was about 60-something troops, and it was really uncomfortable. 60-odd troops, get back on the aircraft, 3 o'clock the next morning, try again. It's a horrendous trip down the back of a Hercules.
You mean they couldn't land when they got there?
No, if the weather was bad. Or,
yeah. They just turned around... Seeing their destination.
Well, they couldn't see it. Yeah.
Because you had no ILS or anything.
They had a PAR by the time we got there.
Yeah.
But Often the weather was bad enough that you couldn't get in.
Mm.
But it's one of the most amazing islands I've ever been to, where you could have four seasons in a day.